we are, coming out of our darkness. I thought it was awesome tonight. I'm going to try not to deviate from what God wants us to do. But I just thought it was so neat. I know I've said this here before, but y'all know what ministry is, right? There's a question. Ministry is giving what you have in abundance to someone who has none. Right? Jesus had righteousness. We had none. So he came here to give us what we had none of. Right? Now, I'm not trying to meddle, and I'm not trying to push this in no other direction. I'm just saying, I noticed a woman who got up here and had a hard 2016. Just minister to somebody who's starting to have a hard 2017. You know why you have a hard time sometimes? Where you can sit down next to somebody when they're having a hard time and they're a brother and sister in Christ, and you don't really have to say a whole lot. I've been there and I know you're there and I want to love you. That song was, Joy, that was perfect. That's perfect. Our song, we got to worship. Chamber, we get to worship. I want to worship. But man, that kind of blows me away. God's perfect. You know what I mean? I believe Joy would have sung that song Sunday night. She didn't make it. I might just get tore out of the frame. I don't know. She didn't make it. She was upset. She didn't make it. You know why? She didn't need to sing it on Sunday night. She needed to sing it tonight. As soon as she sung it, I nudged Melissa and said, she's right on time. And the choir appeared right on time. Man, it kind of made me think, you know what she was saying is, we're going to preach about people, but I started going in my mind was Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, when she lost everything, when her world was totally rocked, you know what she did? She sat in the graveyard and didn't move till Jesus showed up. Sometimes you're just going to have to sit down and say, you know what? I'm not going anywhere until Jesus shows up again. I promise I'm going to preach this. I am. But I started thinking about this. You know, it's amazing if we'll ever, you know what God compares the church to? He compares us to a bride. Do you know that? He compares us to a bride. Now, I'm not talking about some messed up bride. I'm not talking about some messed up marriage. I'm talking about when you're married to someone who loves you and you love them, right? And it's right. Okay? If the husband had to leave, right? If the husband had to leave, not that he wanted to leave, not that he desired to be without the bride, but he just had to go somewhere. You with me, Mandy? If James had to go somewhere, right? And he had to go for a while, maybe for 30, 40 years. And you love him. I'm just saying. What would you want more than anything? I want him to call. Right? I want him to write, text. I know what generation it is. Text, write. And if you can, every once in a while, just come on through. Amen. Come, my God. Come. You know what I mean? Can you preach right there? Just come on by. And if you could, I'd like to smell your cologne. I'd just like to see you. I'd just like you to hug me. I'd just like you to hold me for a minute. I'd just like you to remind me that I'm still married. That I'm still your girl. Amen? Am I somewhere? That's who Jesus is to us. If we ever get desperate enough, we'll treat him like we're a bride and all we want. Hey, we're down here. Now look, I've got a house. I've got a car. You're taking care of me. God, you're feeding me good. I'm blessed. Hey, I'm blessed, Ray. I'm blessed. And all of it's good. God's let me do a lot of great things. You know what I really like about God? when he comes sees me. Amen. When he holds me, when he touches me in that place where he touched me in 2004, when he shows up and just says, "Hey, I know who you are." Man, I wish we'd get to be like a desperate bride every once in a while and say, we're just not satisfied having church. We're not just satisfied doing meetings. We're not just satisfied with messages. God, would you just come by? I felt him come by. Amen. I felt him come by when she was singing because I just heard one heart hurting heart talking to another one. God, I love that. I'll go just one little further. John chapter 9. If you ain't there by now, you need to repent. But I remember watching a family who was devastated with two children. They had lost two kids. And I remember standing there thinking, man, what am I going to say? And I looked up the driveway, and a woman I have a lot of respect for was walking down the driveway, walked right up the driveway, and the mama was sitting on the porch, and she sat on the porch right beside her and put her arm around her. You know what? Her son had been dead for 17 years. And all she was doing was ministering to a mama had just went through what she had already went through. She didn't have to say a word. I'm just here. You don't know me. You don't have to know me. God knows me and I know you. Amen. Oh, golly. If we're not careful, we'll have a meeting here, huh? Y'all ready to learn? Is y'all ready to learn? I want to go out of here better than I came in. You? All right, John chapter 9. We're going to start where we left off, I think. Amen? And if we don't worry about it. Tonight, it's titled People. And I'll give you a verse tonight, a life verse, before we end. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 4, so if you want to mark your market over there before we go to it. But that'll be a little while down the road. Okay, but I want to show you that, help you from now on. Tonight's called Coming Out of Your Darkness, People. People. Do y'all remember what the first one was? Parents. Thank God. All right, somebody remembered. Somebody called me today and said, "Hey, brother, are you going to preach that same message tonight?" It's usually top secret information. But I said, no. And they said, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and listen to it on the internet." So go ahead and listen to it. But I am going to preach it again. Amen? Probably Sunday morning. And if you hadn't heard it yet, go listen to it. Why? Because it'll probably be different by the time we get Sunday. Amen? But I believe this series, you can't get too much of it. That's my opinion. I'm going to listen to it again. Because I want to hear what God's saying. I want it to get saturated in my heart. I want it to know John chapter 9. The next time somebody preaches John chapter 9 in his church or anywhere you go to revival, I want you to go, "Well, I already know John chapter 9. I know that." Y'all ready? Let's get in. All right. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. This is John 9:6. When he had thus spoken, I'm going to slow down and calm down. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes and the blind man... of the eyes of the blind man with the clay. All right, is that good? So he sat down. Y'all love this part, right? All men said amen. He sat down. He picks up a wad of dirt and he spits in it. And he makes mud out of it. It's cool, ain't it? That's God. Do you know he's done that before? Did y'all know he done that before? He made man out of dirt, dust, right? Dust of the earth. This is him just showing himself God. He said, "Oh, you need eyes? Oh, I know how to make them." He just takes a little bit of little mud. A holy spit. God, never mind. Holy spit and dirt. Now listen, when you start to think so highly of yourself, remember, you ain't nothing but dirt. I'm just saying. We are. We're all just dirt. That's okay, though. We're good. God loves us as dirt we are. Amen? All right, go ahead. All right. So he spits and he makes him eyes, okay? So this man who's been blind since birth, sitting on the side of the road, and there's something wrong with him, right? Something wrong with him. And everybody's trying to wonder who sinned, his mom or daddy. God said his mom and daddy they sinned. It's because he's going to get glory out of his life. So the mess he is, God's going to glorify him through that. Verse 7, and he said unto them, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is the interpretation sin. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. 7, go wash in the pool of peace. Amen? Now listen, he had already done the miracle on him and he tells him to go wash. Amen? Now listen, I'm not telling you there is no work salvation. There is none. You're saved by grace. That's it. Amen? Not by works lest any man should boast. Now, I know, but it's tough. But there's a part of your salvation that requires for you to follow what God says to do. It's by faith. Amen? grace by faith. I mean, so you got to show faith. So he says to go wash by the pool. So go cleanse yourself of what I've done. Amen. Ain't that, that's pretty cool. There's a step to it. Now, some of y'all are saying, what are you talking about? This is a physical healing that we're going to draw a spiritual connotation to. Amen. Just when you get saved or you come out of the darkness, that's not all you're going to do. Amen. Listen, August 28 of 04, I got saved, but that is not the end-all, be-all for me. Amen. My testimony doesn't stop that day. You, when I tell my testimony, I will never stop there. Usually, a lot of times, I like to tell the testimony of what's happening today. Today. What's going on today? Amen. So listen, he takes that. He says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. There's another thing you need to do. And there's not one thing you need to do, but there's several things you need to do. Amen? Not to be coming out of the darkness, not to be saved, not to be cleansed, but there's some things you need to do where you don't go back to living like you came in the dark, like you were in the darkness. Where you don't go back to sitting in the same place doing the same thing as if you were in the darkness again. You understand? Go wash in the pool. Amen? He could have sat there and said, no, I'm just going to stay right here. It wouldn't have been a whole lot of difference in his life. And he said, See, after you get saved, you don't have a problem because God, He changes you from the inside.
Amen.
Amen? You don't, listen, I get into this a lot with people. Somebody say, they want to coax people into doing stuff. If you get saved, I won't have to coax you into doing nothing. I don't have to rehearse into your ear. I don't have to holler at you until you do something. If God's put it on your heart, you're going to do it regardless.
Amen.
If He's not in your heart, you ain't going to do it. And it's going to be a waste of time for me. I'm going to be sitting there yanking and pulling and yanking and pulling. And you're going to sit there going, I don't want to do it because that ain't in me. But to do.
Amen, bro.
Now we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about people. But I wanted to show you this. He got up and went and done what he did. He went up and went and done what God wanted him to do. He washed in the pool of Siloam, the pool of peace. That's not just by happenstance, amen? When you get healed, when you get physically woke up out of death into life, when you come out of the darkness, you're going to get some peace that's going to pass off. I mean, I can't explain it to you until you get saved, but when you get saved, you walk out of that darkness, there's a peace that you can't, man, somebody could come up and give you the worst news of your life. It's going to rock your world, but there's going to be peace there. You're going to be like, if I didn't have Jesus, I don't know what I'd be doing. I'd probably act crazy right now. Amen. I'd probably be crazy right now. All right? But I want to show you this. Look. Verse 8. And the neighbors, therefore, and they which were before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is another, and he said, he is like him, but he said, I am he. Therefore, they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? Man, that's pretty cool. Now, see, he's already getting an opportunity. Somebody's already asked a question of him, right? But look where he's at. Jesus touches him. He goes washed in a pool, and people cannot recognize him right away. They can't recognize who he is. Why? Because they've never seen him like this before. They've never seen him like this before. Have you ever heard that when you got saved, nobody ever seen you like that before? Amen? They ain't never heard you talk like that. They've never seen you walk like that. They've never seen you dress like that. They've never seen you participate like that. Amen? Now, all that stuff don't matter. I'm just telling you that that's a fact. Things change. They changed in his life. Things changed. I ain't even got to where I'm wanting to preach at because God messed me up. I've got like 16 notes in my office, 16 lines of notes that I wanted to preach from right here, but God said, nope. I was about to go to bed last night. My head about to hit the pillow. And God said, three people. I just sat up. I said, what? He said, three people. I was going to call this message friends, but I changed it to three people. Now let's get into it just a little bit further. I'm going to read a little bit further and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Verse 12. Then they said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. Oh, let's go back to verse 11. I'm sorry. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Is that pretty good? Three people. All right, we'll get to three people. But I like this part of salvation. I can't explain it either. I ain't never been able to explain it. So Somebody asked me, oh, what happened to you? How do you know you got saved? Well, I really don't know how it happened. I just know what happened. I started telling God everything I did wrong. I started confessing my sins. And I asked Him to be the Lord of my life. And I don't know how He did it, but He did it. Now listen, I'm going to tell you what He did. He put in a new heart. I'm in a new person. Amen? Not a blood pumper, but a way of thinking. He changed who I was. Amen? You know one of the biggest reasons I know He changed me is because I care about people that I didn't care about before. I'm serious. Some people say, how do you know you got saved? Because I don't beat people up. Amen? I'm serious. There's people since I've been saved have talked to me in certain ways that before the old man would have been throat punching. Amen? Can you say throat punching in church? But instead, my old man is screaming. I'm serious, man. He's screaming, you want to punch that one? Punch him, punch him. But the spiritual man said, no, love him. Amen? Drug addicts, homeless people. The worst criminals. Before, if you had asked me, oh, somebody's on death row. Good. They killed somebody. Where do you expect them to go? Come on, y'all are so spiritual. Y'all look at me just when I said it, like, oh my goodness, preachers. You don't, some of you might still have an inkling for that one, huh? Amen. I'm just saying. But God changed us on the inside. And He showed me these three people. There's going to be three different kinds of people when you get saved. And they're all right here in this scripture. And I was trying to think of different ways to put this and way to work it. And God says, why don't you just use the three people that are in the story? Amen? I said, oh God, you're so smart, you wrote it. Amen? So He showed me three people in the story. The first are the apostles, or we like to call them people who already know Jesus. But they don't know you. Write that down. They know Jesus, they just don't know you. Amen? They already have a preconceived notion of who you are and what you should be and what you should be doing just by one look at you. They know Jesus. They love Jesus. They just don't know you. Amen? They walk by and they look at Him. What's wrong with that guy? He's a sinner? He a big sinner? Or his parents are big sinners? I've done that as a Christian. You? Sorry. Hate to tell you. I've looked at somebody off the hoof, made a little assumption. Amen? I didn't know it, but God was going to use that person, amen, to do great things. I knew Jesus, I just didn't know them. See, don't pretend like you know everything because you know God. It's good that you know God. It's good that you know Jesus. You just don't know what God's going to do with everybody. Amen. The people around you that you don't think much of, or you think they're not worthy, or you think they're less than, or you don't think God's going to use them, He's got a bigger plan right away than He's got with you. Some of y'all don't like that, but I just said it. Peter, James, and John, they didn't, none of them, preach and share the gospel in front of the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the religious like this guy's about to for the next couple of days. For the next few days, this man is going to be a testimony machine. Amen. He is. I mean, he is going to be sharing it one day or another, and it's going to cause a ruckus. Amen. And he is unapologetic. He is just, he's being moved. And guess what? When they first walked by, the ones who knew Jesus walked by and looked at him and said, what's wrong with him? Who sinned? Him, mama, daddy. He won't never amount to nothing. He ain't no good. God said, but see, listen, I want y'all to get this. God said, you're looking at him for who he is now. I'm looking at him for who he's going to be. He said, look, you guys are young in the faith. Some of you guys, y'all don't even know yet. You ain't received the Holy Spirit. I'm going to use that old boy right there. Hey, you ain't much different than him. You was as blind as he is spiritually until I come into your life. Amen? I'm about to do something in his life. So just because you're a Christian, just because you know God, you don't know how God is going to operate in everybody else. Do you know everybody has gifts, talents, and abilities? Do you know that everybody has a fitting in the body? Did you know that? We all fit in the body. And some of us, guess what, have silent operation. You know, God wore me out. Talking about, I said, they're going, God, I said, hey, I really want, what a New Year's resolution. Boy, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. God says, hey, why don't you work on some flaws you got? Whoa. Get behind me, Satan. Amen? Amen? No, but you know what he showed me? He said, you know what? You're always asking somebody to shout. You're asking somebody to show emotion. Praise God. Why are you asking for something I'm the only one that can make happen? I'll say it again. See, sometimes I think I know. Amen. No. Y'all don't like how... I like this kind of stuff. Amen. Dave, you like this kind of stuff? I like this kind of stuff. I like when somebody's a train wreck in front of me and I get to see it. I'll be a train wreck for you right now. I said, God, he said, why are you keep asking them to do something that I'm the only one that can make happen? If they're going to shout, it's going to be because I make them shout. He even gets more personal. He even gets even more into me. He said, listen, hey, some people in there, they're listening to the word and I'm breaking them down. Why would you shout if I was breaking you down? Amen? They've got to shout, but it'll be a while. They're under construction. Man, we're always wanting something that God ain't done yet. And if we get something God ain't done yet, then we get our reward for it. What do you mean we get our reward for it? We all go, oh, look, so-and-so shout, that's so good. Instead, if it's from God, it'll go, listen how it says in the Bible, it'll go from breastplate to breastplate to breastplate to breastplate. I know if it's a move of God or not because it jumps on everybody. If it's not God and it's just you shouting on your own, guess what? It ain't going nowhere. It's just you. You generating something that ain't legitimate. I've been in meeting. I've been in so many great meetings. I've been on, the woman that played the piano was sitting behind me. Her husband was sitting beside her. And the next day, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God got on that. And Spirit of God got on that. And Spirit of God got on that. And I was sitting about where James was at. And I said, oh God, here it comes. I'm serious. Y'all think I'm crazy. I don't know where you was raised, but it wasn't. But over in Cleveland, Tennessee, not far from here, next thing you know, oh, Holy Ghost done jumped on me. And then when he got done with me, next person, next person, next person. And that went on for a while. So don't just think because you got, don't be worried about people so much telling you what to do, even if they know Jesus. Because they don't know what they're doing. We don't know what he's doing in everybody. I tell you, I got a guy right now who's going to high schools and giving his testimony to kids. He's seen all kinds of kids one to the Lord. You know where I met him? He was suicidal sitting in his car. When I first seen him, if you had asked me, I told my wife this. That kid ain't going to make nothing. He's probably going to die. I hate to be honest. I hate to be that brutally honest with you. He was a rough one. Covered in tattoos, wasn't he? And he was an emotional wreck. And I didn't think I'd done any help for him. I could call him right now, ask him what you're doing. I'm trying to get in somewhere, run the boys home, telling people about Jesus, going to high schools, I've got in every kind of ministry I can, the way I look. He'll have his hat sideways. And hey, yo, yo, yo. I was like, I don't care, brother. I met you when you was about to kill yourself. You're alive and you're telling people about Jesus that I'll never reach. I'll never reach the people he reaches. Because I don't do that. He does. Amen? Y'all ready to move on to the next group? That's the people that know Jesus, but they don't know you. Then we get to people who know you. They don't know Jesus. Or they know the old you. Amen? They think they know you by what you used to do. Some people in this world, they ain't never going to let you forget who you were. Now, I hate to tell you this, but some of them might be in your family. More than anybody else. You think you're better. You think you're spinning. You think you're all in. I remember when you used to. You ain't no better than me. And that's when you just got to be honest with them right there. You're right, I'm not better than you. Matter of fact, I'm the same as you. I just got Jesus, I've got grace, I've got forgiven. Jesus died for my sins and I believe in who he was. What he did at Calvary was good enough for me. I believe that he was the Son of God. I put my trust and faith in him. So that's what makes us different. I'm not better, I'm just saved. And you can be just like me. Amen. See, when they see you, they don't see that. They don't know Jesus. That's why it's so hard for you, because they're looking at you and they're wanting you to be that old person and do those old things, but you can't do them, and they can't figure out why you do them. If somebody knows you but they don't know Jesus, they're always trying to figure out why. Why? Why do you got to go to church? Oh, I don't have to. I don't. I mean, I might have to. But I'm saying, I don't have... Listen, I'm being honest with you. Can I take that back right there? Strike that from the record. If I didn't want to go to church, praise God, I wouldn't be standing here right now. If I didn't want to go to church, I wouldn't be standing here as your pastor. Because guess what? It would have caught up with me eventually. I had people tell me over the years, I see this, I love this one. You don't have to go to church. I'm like, man, be quiet. What are you going to do? Sit home and lead yourself spiritually? You'll be in a ditch before you know it. Amen. If it's an echo chamber in your house and you're the smartest one there, now yeah, just get ready. You're going in the ditch. Amen. I'm serious. I had a man, he told me for 40 years, kept telling me, we can just have Bible study here. I'm the smartest man. I know the word better than everybody. Give me one of them natural lights. Let me show you. I'm just being honest. You understand what I'm saying now? People tell you they don't know Jesus. They don't know why you got to go to church. I ain't got to go to church. I don't want to go to church. Well, the people don't know. I ain't worried about the people. I ain't worried about the hypocrites. Amen? I'm not worried about hypocrites. I can spot a hypocrite from a mile away. You said, whoa. Some of you went. I can spot a hypocrite a mile away. He said, how do you spot them? When God's moving, they're worried more about the physical stuff than the spiritual stuff. I'm serious. I'll tell you this right here. Here's what a hypocrite looks like. God starts moving. People start doing stuff. Somebody comes and says, you ain't going to mess our church up. Amen? Spot on right there. I know who you are. They're going to ruin this place. Well, good. It needs a little ruining. Amen. Needs a little breaking in. Amen? And you think, they don't know how to act in church. Boy, you do. You do. Ooh. I better move on. I'm going to get in trouble, ain't I? You get in trouble around here. No. I'm just telling you, listen, I ain't worried about, listen, this is it right here. They don't know why you do what you do. Why you got to read the Bible, you got to do everything the Bible says. No, I don't. But it's a 66-page love letter that God wrote me, and if my girlfriend or my wife, like, which one? My wife, amen, writes me a letter, we've been married so long, we went through the note-writing phase all the way down to the text and then messaging, amen. I'm just saying. Listen, I'm telling you this right here. Now listen, this is the way it is. Look, if my wife writes me a love letter, especially a good one. Never mind. Johnny back there smiling like he's eating briars. Especially if she puts some, you know, good. She might have to lie and embellish, but I don't care. She ain't married to you, she married to me. Amen? I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it. Especially if I ain't shooting a call, I'm going to read that thing. I'm going to read it. Because I want to know what the love of my life has written me, and I want to know more about her and what she likes. Golly. Too many times we pray to get God to do something for us when really He's the King and we should be doing more for Him. Amen? Oh, God, would you do this? Oh, God, if you don't mind. And he's King and God, and we're worried about what he's going to do for us. We should be saying, God, you know, when you go before a king, you want to go with gifts. Hey, God, hey, is there anything you want from me today? I wouldn't mind a praise. I wouldn't mind if you'd stop asking so much for yourself, and I wouldn't mind if you, God, I wouldn't mind if you listened every once in a while when you prayed. I'm God, you do all the talking, and I do all the listening. Oh, golly. We're getting personal now, ain't we? Have you ever went to God and made a bunch of promises you didn't want to keep? When are you going to stop talking and just say I'm sorry? And be broken about it. Whew, never mind, I'll move on. Why you got to read your Bible? Why you got to go to church? Why you got to do this? Why you got to do that? I ain't got to do any of it. See, what happened is the Holy Spirit moved in me, and God's in here, and He's the one who's driving the ship. He's the one driving the ship. I'm not making choices and decisions. If I were to make choices and decisions on my own, I'd still be my old man. I'd still do what I want to do. I wouldn't have decided to do these things. My old man loved the same thing your old man loves. But praise God, he's dying. I'm crucifying that joker every single day. He just won't want to die. Mandy, I've told this over time since I've been here. I'm glad they moved up here. Praise God. Finally got somebody else to preach to. But my old man, he sits and he waits. I mean, he's just sitting over there and he's just waiting for me. Now, my spiritual man, as long as I feed him and water him and clothe him and keep him going, he grows. And man, he can grow fast. Your spiritual man's like bamboo. He will grow if you feed him right. And I didn't grow that way physically. I had to go through 43 years. I'd like to be 39 again. I had to go through all that, you know, baby feeding, walking, all that stuff. When you get spiritually born, man, you can grow pretty fast. Amen. You can. Paul, I mean, he got saved on the road to Damascus. And next thing you know, man, he wrote 14 letters in the New Testament, 14 epistles. Never mind, I'm sorry. He was the last apostle. I'm just saying. He grew up pretty quick. Because you can grow pretty fast, but you gotta feed that guy. But that old fleshly man, he'll just sit there. And if you ever throw him a bone, man, if you ever just throw him something that he likes, he'll come on strong. And he will fight your spiritual man. God, some of y'all need to say amen. Oh, so we're going to do that. Hey, Johnny, is that true? It's true, ain't it? If you feed that spiritual, you feed that carnal man, that joker will come to, he's like a little dude in a fight. You ever fought a little guy? Now, I'm talking about a little guy that can fight that's wiry. They will use every ounce. They'll use their toenails. They will fight you from their toenails to their eyebrows. I'm serious. They will jump on you and use every ounce of strength they got. A big guy's just going to be like, boo, boo. They're just like, they're climbing you like a squirrel, up one side, down another. Hey, man. That's what your old man will do. The minute you feed him, he will crawl all over your brain and he'll be whispering in your ear, do this, do that, do that. Remember when we did this, we do this, do this, say this, do this, do that. Look at there, look over here, look over there, look into there. Well, they can't see it. See, some people just can't see it because they know you. They just don't know Jesus. They know you, they know the old you. They don't recognize you though, do they? They hardly recognize you now. Can I tell you one more story about that old man? They don't recognize you. Me and my wife, we went somewhere. Me and Melissa, we were going somewhere. I'd been saved maybe 3 or 4 years. And we went back to our hometown, well, her hometown, Murray County, Georgia. And we went to a basketball game. And I ran into a guy. And he was walking in the gym, and I had done went into full spiritual mode. I wasn't thinking carnal, didn't know the man. When I seen him, I recognized him. He recognized me. And I grabbed his hand. And when he grabbed my hand, I hugged him. I said, God bless you, brother. Good to see you. I mean, I was on fire. Can't imagine me being on fire, right? And I let him go, and he was like, and I mean, he's still standing there like in a day. He's like, and I went on by. Me and Melissa's walking. And we went and sat down on the bleachers. There's like four rows in a little bitty gym. And I'm sitting up on her. She goes, she leans over and she has to tell me the obvious. Sometimes she goes, Kevin, that guy don't know you as a Christian. I went, what? That guy that you just bear hugged and gave him God's blessing, he don't know you as a Christian. You used to run around with him when you were lost. I said, oh. And then I seen him. He was sitting like four rows down all the way next to the wall. And he was sitting there like this looking over his shoulder going, like, just looking like, what happened to that guy? I mean, it looks like him, sounds like him, walks like him, but that ain't him. Amen? That's exactly what happened when this man come out of his darkness. They looked at him. See, he had eyes now. He looked different. He wasn't a whole lot different. He was just different. And they didn't know that he had been with Jesus. So they had a hard time figuring out what had happened to him. Amen? So he just told them what happened to him. And listen, you ain't got to make your story out bigger than what it was. See, some of us think we got to become theologians when we get saved. I hear people all the time say, I just don't know enough. I said, do you know what happened to you? Yeah? Say that. Yeah. Amen? Say that. You ain't got to argue your testimony. Amen. You ain't got to be a theologian to say, I was blind. He spit in there, made some mud, and made me some eyes. You ain't got to be a theologian. You just got to be a witness. Amen. Amen? A witness only does one thing. Witnesses. Amen? When you get put on the stands of life, you're just going to tell what your perspective was. I was blind. Now I see. Who did it? Jesus. Where is he? I don't know. Golly. Help me preach right there. Ain't that good? Where is he? I don't know. That's theologian. There's somebody we won't argue with. Well, where is he? I don't know. Well, I mean, I kind of figure he's everywhere. Ain't that right, Betsy? He's a little bit everywhere, right? He's omnipresent. He can be anywhere, right? But I mean, at this very moment, I don't know, you know. I mean, all I know is I was blind. Well, I don't believe you. You don't have to believe me. I can see you. If you'd have rolled by here yesterday, I wouldn't have seen you. It don't really matter what you think. I'm just telling you what happened. If you don't want to take what happened and just take on going down the road, I don't care. Amen. Somebody said, what do you want? What happens? You get somebody tells you they don't believe what you say. Love you. Amen. God bless you. Have a good life. What's left of it? Enjoy. Amen. I don't ever think of it that way, though. I don't. You know what I think of it is? Seed planting. Seed planting. That's all it is. Seed planting. I don't have to see. It's really not up to me. If I get to see somebody saved, it don't even matter that somebody planted, somebody watered, God gave the increase. I didn't save nobody. If I get next to somebody, they get saved at a meeting where I preached, where I was at, praise God, God's doing the work on them. I could have been preaching about taxes. It wouldn't have mattered. Amen? There it is. All right, so the last one. Let's get that last one in. The Pharisees. Golly, it's a good group, right? He took on the Pharisees. They don't know you. They don't know you, and they don't know God. They don't know neither one of you, do they? They don't know neither one of you. They don't know neither one of you. They didn't know you. They don't know what's about you. They don't know where you're from. They don't know where you're going. They don't know what you're about, and they ain't never met God, even though they look like they have. They talk like it. They walk like it. They look like it. They're all spiritual. Amen? They're religious. They got all the answers for all the questions and none of the answers. They're always walking around, pulling you over, arresting you. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I'm God's policeman. I'm in charge. Okay. Look at this guy. Who are you? Well, I'm a man who's sitting on the side of the road, and one day Jesus came up to me. We don't believe in who he was. Well, I don't care. I was blind, now I see. Well, we don't believe in him. We believe in Moses. Good for you. Good. I just think that, you know, it's a good thing. Well, I don't believe it's a good thing. Well, it is a good thing. Ain't it a good thing if a blind man who was blind is now seeing? Ain't that God if he touches somebody? The devil's not going to give somebody their sight back, is he? You know what? Let me tell you something. The devil, sometimes they even tell Jesus one time, said, your bill's above. You're working for the devil. Amen? Well, that's crazy because the devil would never let a blind man see. He would never heal a person that's a leper. He would never take a sin-sick, broken person and let them have 1 ounce of peace. He would never. You know why? Because he's the devil. He won't ever let you have 1 ounce of peace. He don't want you to have 1 ounce of it. And God says, hey, a house divided will not stand. Amen. He said, I'm on my Father's side. And if you'd have known my Father, you should have known me. I mean, you should have known me, but you don't know me. Amen. Pharisees are always questioning. They're always wanting God to do something, but they don't want to admit it when he does it. Amen. Remember when Nicodemus came to him? He came to him and he said, we know. Amen? He wasn't just talking for himself. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. We know it. That's a problem with most people in the world. They don't know God. They don't know you either. Praise God. Let's show them that verse, Kyle. Here it is. Here's your new life verse, I hope. If we're not there, 1 Corinthians 4. And we're going to close with this so the musicians could come on if they want to. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. That's your new life verse. Write it down. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. You know what that means? Paul says this. It's a thing, but it's not a big thing to me. People are not a big deal to me. You know why? I'll tell you why. I'm going to live my life before God. Amen. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to trust Him. And I'm going to do my best by Jesus. And guess what? I'm going to hope people figure it out. But I'm not going to hang my hopes and my dreams and my aspirations and my worth on people. Amen. I'm going to hang them on Jesus. And when I hang them on Jesus, I can be a human being, not a human doing. Amen? I'm not going to be a human being. I mean, I'm going to be a human being. I'm just not going to be a human doing everything, trying to make everybody else happy. Amen. I'm going to try to make God happy. Yeah. With everything I got. Amen. And I know that's going to work out towards people just fine. But if it don't, I still know Amen. That I tried my best to live before God. Everybody stand as they come get a song of invitation.